ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He did it. Not me. He did it. What a beautiful picture we see here of our Holy One, Jesus Christ, who has made us holy. Jesus is the Holy One. Well, from there we move to Shechem. Shechem was located in the land of Ephraim, was in the middle part of the land. We're in the Promised Land again on the west side of the Jordan River. And the word Shechem means shoulders. And again, I find that interesting. We talked about the Holy One. Now we're talking about shoulders. Remember the story of Atlas? Atlas was supposed to hold the world up on his shoulders, right? You know, it was obviously just a fairy tale of folklore. It wasn't real. But there is one who does hold the world upon his shoulders, and that's Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because of what Isaiah 9:6 says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. The world will be upon his shoulders. What we read in Isaiah 53, he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. All the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus on that cross of Calvary. And he's able to save us, Paul said in Hebrews, to the uttermost if we come to him. He lives to make intercession for us. You know, you look at this world and you see the wickedness and you think, he's just going to give up. No, he doesn't give up. He continues to make intercession. Even during the tribulation period, the 7 years where God pours his wrath out upon a Christ-rejecting world, we have the biggest revival that has ever taken place in the world. Wow, the grace of God, the love of God. He always lives to make intercession, if you'll turn to him. You see, the Holy One who bore our sins upon his shoulders on the cross of Calvary has saved us now to the uttermost. But it doesn't end there. The next city of refuge was Hebron, located in the mountains of Judah, and Hebron was in the south part of the land. And Hebron, the name means fellowship. Interesting. Sin has separated man from God, right? We all know that. The Holy One has come and paid in full the penalty for our sins, bearing them upon his shoulders, and thus, because of his finished work, we can have fellowship with God once again. Isn't that what Jesus came to do? You know, most people say, oh, he came to save us from hell. Well, yeah, that's a benefit. But he came to restore the fellowship, because remember what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. Fellowship was broken. And now, Jesus has come to restore that. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Who brings us to God? Jesus does. Sin separated us. When we come to Christ, he now takes our sin, gives us his righteousness, and now we have fellowship with the Father once again. Wow. He did that he might bring us to God. I shouldn't be amazed by these things, but I always am. You know, sin separates us from God, like I said. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus came to restore that. In fact, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's all based on what Christ has done for us. We can only have fellowship with the Father through Jesus. Remember what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through who? Me. Isn't that interesting? People go, well, you know, you guys are just, you can interpret the Bible any way you want. Have you heard that before? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. How do you interpret that? Do you have another one? I don't like that one. Why? Because it's so easy. You have no other option. He's the way, the truth and the life. And if you want to see the Father, you have to go through him. End of story. You may not agree with it. You may not like it. You may not think it's fair. But you can't say he never said it. He did. Again, this is all based in Christ for us. We have fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And these three cities of refuge were on the west side of the Jordan River in the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. Now there's three cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan River outside the Promised Land. This is where Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh lived. They did not want to enter the land. They liked the land on the other side of the Jordan River. And so they stayed there. Not a good thing, as we talked about. But this is where, again, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh lived. The first city of refuge is Bezer. And Bezer was located in the area of Reuben in the south. And Bezer means fortified one or stronghold, kind of like a rock, or I think of it as the rock, Jesus Christ. Think about this, and this is pretty simple. Outside of Christ, there's danger all around us. And where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide? Because on our own, there's not a lot we can do. I kind of think of, you know, those tragic days when Hitler was in power. People tried to flee. How horrible that must have been. And there were places they couldn't flee to, like Switzerland and other places, but it was tough. We're living in a day where we're moving towards this tribulation period. We'll be gone before that begins, but when the Antichrist comes to power and has control of all the kingdoms of the world, there's not going to be a Switzerland to run to. There's not going to be any place to run to. And even during that period of time, like I said, Jesus is the place that you're going to have to run to. You see, for us as Christians, you know, all this stuff is going on around us, right? Well, why are we so calm? Why are we not worried? Why are we not going crazy? Because we have a place to go. We lay it at the feet of Jesus. That's the best place to be. That's a place where the unsaved don't have a place to go, because they've rejected him. But he's our rock. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." Yeah, I want a stronghold to go to in a day of trouble, don't you? And it's Jesus. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are saved." Psalm 61:3, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." You know, what a wonderful place to go to. In fact, in Psalm 61, David is just overwhelmed, and he's crying out to God because of the situation he's in. And where does he get his encouragement in the present situation that he's facing? He looks back into the past to strengthen him. How do I know that? Because he said, "For you have been a shelter for me. I remember what you did. How you delivered me from terrible times, times where the enemy had surrounded me. I remember how you delivered me." And it's given me strength in the present situation that I'm facing. That's a good thing to remember. What God has done in the past to encourage you in the present. And he's going to take safety under the shadow of God's wings. Place of protection. Why is that important? Well, think about it. The only way for the enemy to get to David was through who? God. I like that. Okay? That's like, you know, when you're a kid and, you know, hey, my dad can beat up your dad. He's, you know, and you always took protection because your dad was big, right? We got God on our side. Why don't we rest in the shadow of his wings? It sounds simple. In fact, John said in 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Wow, think about that. You know, the world's going crazy, right? We shouldn't be. Is God going to allow anything to happen to us that he's not aware? You know, do you think he's going to be busy watching the football game this afternoon and miss out what's going on in your life today? No. Our God never sleeps or slumbers. He's with us wherever we go. And he knows exactly what's happening in our lives. And we need to have that perspective of God and what he's doing to help us have that peace, knowing that he's in control. And if God is for us, who could be against us? No one. That's what Paul said in Romans. You see, we find safety in him. And Isaiah 26:4, and this is from the Amplified Bible, puts it like this. So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Wow. You know, Scotty blows up rocks. This rock doesn't blow up. I like that. He's a firm foundation. Everything around us could be shaking, but here's some solid ground we can place our lives upon. He's the strong tower we can run to. Well, the next places we'll look at is Ramoth. And it was located in the area of Gad in the middle part of the land on the east side of the Jordan River. Ramoth means exaltation. And again, this is a picture that's amazing. In Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, therefore, God also has highly exalted him, super exalted Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Boy, there is no doubt we should lift up Jesus and praise his name, but the Father has highly exalted him. And then there is the city of refuge in the land of Golan. Golan was located in the area of Manasseh in the north part of the land, and Golan means joy. Remember when the angels announced the birth of the Messiah of Jesus, and we're told in Luke 2 that the angel said to them in verses 10 through 14, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people," not just to the Jews. To all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. Great joy. Yeah, there's great joy in Jesus, guys. The Savior of the world was born. The angels understood that. They were singing praise to God. And we should have that same great joy. In Romans 5:1, Paul said, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Man, we should rejoice in all the Lord for what all the Lord has done for us. He reconciled us back to God through his death. And there's so much more. But if that's all he did for us, we're going to spend eternity with him. I hate to say it, but this life is very brief when you compare it to eternity. How long is eternity? It's eternal. Thank you. I went to school for that. No, I didn't. But it is short. I'm amazed how fast time goes by. And I want to live it to the fullest. I want to honor the Lord in all that I do. And I want that joy that he's given me to overflow and touch the lives of others. I want them to see that I have the joy of the Lord in me. And again, what a picture we have here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I like that. Over 15 times in the Psalms, God is our refuge and we could flee to. There is the avenger of blood that we talked about. And in the Hebrew, it's Goel. And it literally means redeemer, which is kind of interesting. He is an avenger of blood. He's going to bring judgment upon those that don't go to the city of refuge, that don't come to him. But he's also the redeemer. In him, he is our city of refuge. The redeemer literally means one who buys back at the appointed price what has fallen into another's hands. We've fallen into the hands of Satan. Sin has separated us from God. But Christ has paid the penalty for our sin, and we have safety from the judgment that comes upon the sinner. Make no mistake about it, God never says he wants to reform the sinner. He wants to transform us. We don't need reformation, we need transformation. And that's what he's done. You know, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Romans 12:2, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Absolutely. God wants to transform our lives as we spend time with him, as we renew our mind in his word, praying, being in fellowship with other believers, being encouraged, even corrected. One writer put it like this. He said, both Jesus and the cities of refuge are within easy reach of the needy person. They were of no use unless someone could get to the place of refuge. Both Jesus and the cities of refuge are open to all, not just the Israelite. No one needs to fear that they would be turned away from their place of refuge in their time of need. Both Jesus and the cities of refuge became a place where the one in need would live. You didn't come to a city of refuge in time of need just to look around. Both Jesus and the cities of refuge are the only alternative for the one in need. Without this specific protection, they're going to be destroyed. Both Jesus and the cities of refuge provide protection only within their boundaries. To go outside means death. With both Jesus and the cities of refuge, full freedom comes with the death of the high priest. Isn't that interesting? Full freedom came when our high priest, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary for us. There is one big difference between these cities of refuge that we're reading about here in Joshua chapter 20 and our refuge in Jesus. The cities of refuge in Joshua were for the innocent. We're not. It won't help us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're guilty. We're not innocent. And yet Jesus didn't die for the innocent. He died for sinners. Wow. He accepts all who come to him. You know, some people think, oh, I'm just too far gone. God can't accept me. There's no way. Are you kidding me? You remember the thief on the cross? He obviously, I would think he murdered someone or he wouldn't have been crucified, okay? What did Jesus say to him when he came to Christ? Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, you know, you're a really dirty, rotten guy, man. There's no way I'm accepting you. Are you kidding me? All are open. All can come to Jesus. We're all bad, right? So do we think some are worse than we are? I'm sure they are. But where is that line drawn where you've gone too far? Well, it's too far when you die and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But up until that point, the door is open. George Keith, a songwriter, wrote this: how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Yeah, that's where we flee to. He's our city of refuge, and he'll protect us. You know, there's a story of a chieftain of the MacGregors that was killed in a scuffle at an inn at the moors of Glenorachy, and a young gentleman by the name of Lamont did this. And he mounted his horse, this manslayer, and fled sharply, pursued by others, and he reached a house. And it was the house of MacGregor himself. And he cried out to the man, "Save my life! Men are after me to take it away." "Whoever you are," replied MacGregor, "while you're under my roof, you're safe." Well, the pursuers arrived, and they cried out, "Has a stranger just entered your house?" "He has." "And what may your business with him be?" "The man has killed your son. Give him up to our vengeance." Well, can you imagine? Tears streaming down this man's face. And he said, "No, you cannot have the youth, for he has MacGregor's word for his safety. And as God lives, while he is in my house, he shall stay secure." And it was, this story has been told over and over as Highland honor. But what has Christ done? To Jew and Gentile, high and low, rich and poor, friend and enemy, God's grace is extended. We're under his protection. Not just the Jews, but for Gentiles as well. All who need it refuge. No one's restricted. The door of salvation is open to both Jews and Gentiles. In fact, that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow, that's what God has done. We need to keep that in mind. God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, Peter tells us, but that all should come to repentance. You see, that's God. He wants to see people saved. And he's given them the opportunity, but he'll never force anyone into that relationship with him. Apart from Christ, you will die in your sins. You will face his judgment. But again, the door of salvation is open to all. We kind of talked a little bit about this, but you didn't come to these cities of refuge to check out the shops they had, what kind of work was there, what kind of homes they had. I don't like this area. Are you kidding? You fled for your life. You went into this for protection. I've heard people today say, you know, I'll try Jesus. I don't even know what that means. You'll try Jesus. It's not like a hamburger. You know what I mean? Well, what are you talking? You're going to try him. And they're basically saying, you know, I'm going to try Jesus, I think. As long as I get what I want, I'll stick with him as long as things go the way I want them to go. As long as I'm happy, this Jesus is okay with me. If it doesn't work out, I'll try something else. If that's the mentality you have, you're in trouble. You don't try him. He is Almighty God. You receive him into your life by faith. And this is a really sad letter that Jesus wrote to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. But in verse 20, this is what Jesus said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. The picture here is the church of Laodicea. Jesus is outside knocking to get into the church because the church won't let him in. They're fine. They have all their programs. They have all their wealth. They have everything they need. And Jesus is outside. They probably have, you know, crosses up. They probably talk about Jesus, but there's no relationship with him. Well, let's make this for the individual, where God is knocking on your heart. The Holy Spirit is wooing you into a relationship with Jesus. And what you have to do is receive him by faith, to repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. These cities of refuge, again, I'll just go quickly. Kadesh was holiness, Shechem, shoulder, Hebron, fellowship, Bezar, stronghold, Ramoth, exaltation, and Golan, joy. The Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, had the sins of the world placed upon his shoulders to pay in full the penalty for our sins so that we can once again have fellowship with the Father. He's our stronghold, our rock that we can run to, a strong tower to protect us from the enemy, and has been exalted once again to the right hand of the Father. And that joy of the Lord has filled our hearts and lives. What a great God we have, our city of refuge. He's the one who's given us life. He died so we could live. There's a story way back from June of 1997 from Chicago. It was in the Chicago Tribune about a parachute instructor, Michael Costello. He was 42. He's from Mount Dora, Florida, and jumped out of an airplane at 12,000 feet altitude with a novice skydiver named Gareth Griffin, who was 21. And the novice discovered how good his instructor was because when the novice pulled his ripcord, his parachute failed. He was plummeting to the ground. He was going to die. I mean, you know, you're not going to survive that. Here's what this instructor did. Just before hitting the ground, the instructor rolled over so that he would hit the ground first and the novice would land on top of him. And yeah, the instructor was killed instantly. The novice fractured his spine in the fall, but he wasn't paralyzed. This one man took the place of another, took the brunt for another. He substituted himself to die for another so that he could live. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's exactly what he's done for us. What a wonderful Savior we have. Wherever you're at this morning, I pray that you would find your rest, that refuge, that shelter in the arms of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our city of refuge. If you're not a believer, I would encourage you, seek him. Ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if you are, no matter what you're going through, remember all he's done for you. Lay your requests at his feet that you could take refuge in the shelter of his wings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture. And there's so many beautiful pictures of Jesus throughout the scriptures. But Lord, the substance has come. Jesus has come. He has paid in full the penalty for our sins so that we can once again have fellowship with you. And we're so thankful for that. And I pray for every person here that they would leave with that joy in their hearts, knowing what you've done for them. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and loving us unconditionally, extending your grace that we never deserved and never will deserve, and giving us life. Thank you, Lord.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.